Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topics. And today we're discussing 8 timely and thought-provoking multifamily topics. And joining me today by phone is Paul Bergeron, who served as the Director of Applications at the National Apartment Association for 17 years. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
You know, Paul, when I approached you about being on the show, I knew that with your background of working on a national level at the National Apartment Associations and handling all their wonderful publications that you were responsible for, including Units Magazine and so forth, that you would have an interesting perspective on a lot of different topics. So I kind of posed to you the question, what topics would you like to discuss? And you gave me a list of about 10 topics, and I think we're going to kind of cover at least 8 of those, or try to cover 8 of those, on a kind of a rapid-fire basis throughout our show today. And there are a wide range and variety of topics, so for our listeners, please stay tuned, because there's going to be something in there that I know you're going to be able to benefit from. But let's jump into it, and let's talk about the first topic that you had, and that's the flight to the suburbs. Tell me a little bit about that and what you have found out, what's going on in the industry with that.
Well, it's an interesting topic for apartment operators and developers, because forever it's all about location, 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 right? So transit-oriented development was a big deal because people wanted to live near public transportation to get to work. Well, April came along, and COVID came along, and then April came along, and all of a sudden a lot of employees and a lot of apartment operations and people in general are kind of reevaluating some of that. If you wanted to work downtown, you always wanted to live near a metro station because it would reduce your commute and all those types of things. But that's not always the case now. So I think some apartment developers, when it comes to rents and marketing, are going to have to kind of shift a little bit to the work from home model and promote that, promote office, promote workable situations in your apartment home. And maybe your Wi-Fi and other amenities. Flight to the suburbs kind of carries out, too, with what we're seeing in a lot of big cities right now, maybe not Houston, but you're seeing some stories on the news about New York City, Louisville, Seattle, Portland, where there's some civil unrest, Washington, D.C., where I am, some civil unrest. So I think that people might be a little bit nervous about being in urban areas. One apartment community I talked to in Portland said that they're getting a lot of traffic for their other community, which was about 10 miles outside of downtown, partly because of civil unrest, perhaps, and partly because people aren't necessarily wanting to pay top dollar in rent to live in an urban environment when they can work from their apartment in the suburb and pay a little bit less. I mean, I know the supply and demand will probably balance out whatever rents are able to be charged based on those trends. But it's just really kind of interesting to see how that's playing out, where, you know, the urban lifestyle might not be for everyone as much as maybe the apartment industry thinks it is.
Markets like Houston, which already has a huge suburban presence of multifamily properties, that probably is not, but in areas that do have strong, and by the way, Houston and other markets in this area have also built up and developed many, many properties in urban areas for just that reason. Mass transit is not as prevalent here as it is in the Northeast or in other parts of the country. But it is certainly something that developers have looked at because of the location And the higher rents, they've been able to charge. But I guess that's going to have to be reassessed. Another one of the rapid fire topics that that you had on your list is certainly very timely right now, and that go ahead. I'm sorry.
I have a little bit more on the suburb situation.
Given
the COVID and the social distancing and being kind of in your shelter in place, although I know that a lot of the policies have been lifted, but a lot of developers I was talking to were saying that the suburban lifestyle is better because people just want to get out of their house, and they want a bigger yard, or they want, you know, maybe they want a garden style apartment where they're a little bit more open, where there's opportunities to really just get outside a little bit. If you're in a high rise, again, high rise buildings have a lot of benefits, but you know, the whole situation with elevators and everything else. Suburban apartment living is more conducive to, say, the 2-, 3-, 4-story buildings that people are probably more interested in at this point. The other part of the urban discussion is, if a renter knows they can work from anywhere, why would they, again, want to pay the high rents to be in downtown? So those are some continuing factors with that.
Sure, that makes sense. One of the other rapid fire topics that you have that we're going to discuss today is in the news right now, obviously, and that's evictions. Talk a little bit about what you've been hearing on that.
Well, the eviction situation has been really tied to the stimulus in the federal government and what localities are able to do to assist. I think all the operators know that. The big deadline came, I guess, around July 24th, July 31st, where, you know, the $600 check, the eviction moratoriums and things like that. And, you know, Congress wasn't really able to get anything together to help renters or really apartment owners. I mean, President Trump came out and did the executive orders, which were, you know, a nice media event for him and some good talking points. But when you talk to people since Saturday, they're kind of saying, well, wait a minute, he didn't really help anyone. And in fact, the dollars going into people's pockets are probably going to be less once they come to some sort of agreement once that kicks in. So it continues to be a situation. Now, a couple of publicly traded companies had their earnings calls at the end of July. I listened in on those. It was Equity Residential, UDR, and Avalon Bay. And this topic came up a bit with the analysts. You know, what were they seeing? And I think Tom Toomey at UDR mentioned that roughly about 2% of his portfolio had people who were, I don't know if the word is eligible, but they were in a situation where they could or should be evicted based on the lease, et cetera. And, you know, he was one that didn't come out and say, well, yeah, you know, we're going to be waiting by their door to evict them. He was trying to show a little bit more compassion, work with the residents, come up with payment plans. I think everyone has been dealing with that. The biggest problem for the apartment operators that I'm hearing is the lack of communication from the renters. They're sending them emails, knocking on their door, calling them, doing whatever to try to create an avenue of conversation to sort of come up with a plan to avoid the worst case scenario. And a lot of apartment residents are not responding, which makes the whole challenging process even more challenging. You know, if you look in the eviction courts based on what locality you're in, you know, there's a backlog of evictions. So even if you are able to proceed with that, it's not going to run as quickly or as smoothly as you think. Some of the other larger apartment owners that I talked to said that, especially in managed properties, that their investors want to proceed with the evictions. They want residents paying the rent. I mean, obviously, it's a business. That's what's going on, and that's what I think everyone wants. But, you know, there's different levels of empathy and different levels of support and different levels of communication between both parties. So it seems like it's going to continue to be a pretty tough situation with employment and being able to pay the rent. Now, NMHC partners with a lot of software companies and apartment industry companies to produce the rent tracker data. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It comes out usually the first week of each month, and that's been ticking down just a little bit. I mean, really, when you look at the full month, it looks like the collections are somewhere in the 94 to 95% range, which I think everyone is surprised with, and they feel like that's a pretty good number. But, you know, we're coming up on the first rent check in September that would essentially be without having that $600 unemployment benefit. So I think the numbers are going to change a little bit unless something gets kicked in.
Yeah, and that's something that I think, you know, everybody's kind of on the edge of their seat waiting to see what's going to happen in the industry, because it's not a good situation, obviously, for anybody, for the residents, for the people who manage the properties, as well as for the investors and the owners. It's just really something that we've never come across before, and we've got to really kind of determine which way to go and how it's going to happen. But I think you used the word in the correspondence with me, tsunami of eviction.
Yeah.
And that could be something that we're seeing. Have you heard anything out there that's something that everyone's still expecting to see?
The apartment industry is saying we're not. The media, because they like to create conflict and stress, is saying that look out for things like that. And it's coming to the apartment owners to come up with some creative ideas on how to make this all work. I mean, one that I heard about was someone said that, you know, if there was an agreement, they wouldn't report them on their credit bureau, just, you know, sort of help their reputation that way. I think that's a great idea. There's another program called Resident Relief Foundation, if anyone wants to look that up. They're helping out renters through supporting the evicted renters by giving them money to help pay.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here with this segment of Multifamily Matters. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of 8 timely and thought-provoking multifamily topics. And I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Paul Bergeron, who served as Director of Publications at the National Apartment Association for 17 years. And before we jump back into the discussion, I do want to remind our listeners that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Paul, as we talked about in the first segment, when I approached you about being on the show, you were nice enough to send me about 10 different topics, and we're kind of looking at this as a rapid-fire discussion, jumping to a couple of topics in each one of our segments. And I'd like to talk, one of the topics you had is really something that we see a lot about, especially now with the pandemic, and that's virtual tours. Tell me what you are hearing about that.
Virtual tours, people are less willing to go to apartment communities and take a tour in person because of COVID and everything else. So the technology has really improved when it comes to executing these virtual tours. There's a lot of companies out there that are helping apartment communities do this. A lot of them are still doing live tours in terms of making sure people have appointments when they show up and making sure they're wearing masks. But a lot of people prefer the virtual tours, either an in-person virtual tour or a recorded personal tour. So it kind of depends on what you're up for. The in-person virtual tour, you'll actually talk to a leasing agent who will kind of walk you through the apartment while you're engaged on some sort of some sort of technology channel, whether it's your smartphone or whatever it happens to be. So, you know, some companies that are working on that now are companies like Tour 24, Smart Rent, Rently, things like that. And video companies such as Matterport, which we had heard about a couple years ago when they started to get into virtual reality, are helping execute these tours. Now, some companies are doing very well in converting these tours. Gates Hudson is a apartment community in Mid-Atlantic that I talked to, and they're getting a 43% conversion rate on their virtual tours, which is pretty amazing when you really think about it. The way you do the tours is also something that a lot of people had to practice. I would think at this point the leasing agents have it down because they've got a lot more experience at it. Really, some of the tips that I was hearing was you make sure you show them the balcony, highlight that, because, of course, the balcony for some people is really their only window to the world when it comes to being in a lockdown type of mode, or at least a preferred stay-at-home mode. The tour agent that's giving the tour really needs to talk a lot more and have a lot more personality than usual, because you don't have that sort of natural give and take between you and the prospect that you would have if they're standing next to you and walking with you, because sometimes you might not even be able to see them or see their face or see their expression. So a lot of the engagement on a virtual tour, on a regular tour, is based on body language. People will give clues as to whether they're curious or not, or the expression on their face. Well, geez, people have masks on. You don't know if they're smiling or not. Right? So it becomes a lot more challenging to do these tours properly. One of the most interesting things that I saw with virtual tours, and I wrote about it, as I wrote about most of these topics that we've been talking to on my LinkedIn page, apartment community in Maryland outside of Washington, D.C., that's called the Remy, and it's managed by Livby Apartments. They did an open house virtual tour, which they basically recorded a virtual tour and then sent out invitations to about 30 prospects, and all 30 prospects sort of engaged on the virtual tour at the same time. So they found that to be kind of fun and exciting, and got, I think I got 9 leases signed out of it. They used a Price is Right theme where they kind of had the big name tags of their names, and they walked through, and they had a lot of fun. The agents are really engaging. If you watch the video on my site or on the Remy site, that was a great idea on how to make the most of virtual tours.
You know, and I think you're right, Dana. What you said initially about this is about how these virtual tours have gotten more traction due to COVID. I can remember for several years going to Apartmentalize or going to different association regional and state and local trade shows, and seeing the supplier partners there with talking about virtual tours, and it's one of those things that at the time my thought was, well, that's interesting, but it's going to take a lot of time to adopt that due to the fact that you're not in person. You typically, as you said, you can learn so much more when you're trying to close a lease by having that in-person connection with somebody, but COVID kind of forced the issue and expedited it, and I think that
absolutely
that's caused a lot of other things to happen that maybe weren't on the front burner of the stove for multifamily, including marketing ideas. And I know you've seen a lot of things with that too.
Yeah, the marketing people have always been innovative, and it's fun to watch. One more thing on the virtual tour. The other tour I was trying to think of before was the self-guided tour, which was something that was also sort of taking off. And like you said, the COVID has really kind of accelerated both of those aspects. And one other side on the virtual tours was setting up an Alexa device in the apartment where people who are walking through could ask questions of Alexa. I thought that was kind of a cool idea. There's a company called 24/7 Jack. As far as marketing ideas, yeah, I was talking with Mike Whaling of 30 Lines, who does a lot of marketing help with a lot of apartment communities, and he said that it's gotten to the point where there's so many different channels out there that you really have to kind of keep your eye on everything. And he's getting questions from all these different platforms, not just the usual suspects. So marketers are having to consider different types of approaches. You know, one of them, I mean, we can't stop hearing about TikTok, right? So that kind of started getting popular in the spring, I think. And there was a lot of apartment communities who had their on-site staff recording TikTok. Fun. I mean, it's such a fun platform. And they were recording videos of themselves having fun in the apartments. I mean, that's kind of a slam dunk, easy thing to do. I mean, Instagram is perfect for apartments because it's so heavily weighted to photos and images. So you can really take advantage of that if you're an apartment marketer. Some of the ones I was talking to were saying that that's their number one channel. So you have things like Facebook ads and Microsoft Bing ads and Google ads as well. So you look at the cost for doing advertising there, and I mean, the prices obviously change every day based on keywords and things like that, but people were finding that Facebook ads were the cheapest, and they were also getting a lot of bang for their buck with YouTube ads. So if you're watching a YouTube video, you can kind of have a bumper ad stuck in the middle of the video that might be 15, 20, 30 seconds about your apartment community, right in the middle of the video, kind of like a commercial. So that was something that's been pretty popular. Another cool thing that I got put up this week was an intern at a property in near Oakland. The apartment community was called Amelia, like the girl, right? So he wrote a song and produced a music video. He got his friend to be the actor. It's really cool. It's about 3 minutes long. It's a love song to his apartment building. Because it's Amelia. It's a girl, right? So you have to check that out. If you don't check anything out, go look at the Amelia apartment video. Pretty fun stuff. It's about 3 minutes long. This is an intern, by the way. So good for him. His name was William Webster. Also, I saw something really cool. I don't know if you're a hockey fan. I mean, the hockey's back on right now. So Seattle has a new hockey team, and one of their promos was basically a short video, if that's the right word, of a screen of a smartphone. So picture yourself looking at your smartphone, and you're texting with somebody. So you text, the message goes up, they type in their text, the screen moves upward, and then the next text appears. Well, the entire video about the hockey team was a conversation between all the hockey teams in the NHL, like welcome to the NHL, new Seattle franchise, and things like that. Now, that has nothing to do with apartments, but the technique of the familiarity of looking at the face of a phone and seeing text flash across it was just kind of cool. And I put that up on my LinkedIn, and a lot of people were really interested in that. So there's a lot of things going on with marketing that you just have to keep trying things, especially in this competitive marketplace for renters.
All right. Well,
one last thing that I have for you, Paul, was I started looking into Twitch, and I don't know if people are familiar with Twitch, but it's a website for gamers. So people will actually watch people playing Xbox, which is bizarre to me. Well, they have advertising available on their site. So I'm sitting here thinking, all right, gamers, that's sort of our demographic. Maybe you'd want to advertise your apartment community on there. It turned out it was pretty expensive, but it's just something to put in your back pocket as something to watch. Twitch is what it's called.
Great. All great ideas, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the show. I do want to take a break right now, and we're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing 8 timely and thought-provoking multifamily topics in a kind of a rapid-fire discussion. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is Paul Bergeron, who served as the Director of Publications at the National Apartment Association for 17 years. Before we get back into the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, e-leasing company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Paul, I did want to let our listeners know that a lot of these links to videos and ideas and stories and things that you have brought up during the show and you'll continue to, I'm sure, bring up, I will post as many of those as I can on the episode page of the website. So if you'd like to see some of these videos, there should be links. And also be links to how someone could reach you if they would like to do so. Let's jump back into the conversation. Another timely topic that affects multifamily is the reopening of schools. It affects multifamily in a lot of different ways. Obviously, the residents that are living there with families and children that have to go to schools, but also the team members and staff members who have kids that have to be in school. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I mean, here we are on August 11th, I think. I was talking to an operator in the D.C. market last week, and just off the cuff, I just said, you know, what's the biggest problem you've got going right now? And she says, back to school. And what she meant was her employees, what kind of work schedule are they going to have? Are they going to have to be tutoring? Are they going to have to be, you know, homeschooling? Are they going to have to be home with their kids who are going to be on computers learning from their elementary school teacher via Zoom or something? I mean, you can't be everyone everywhere, and you're looking at a situation where these employees who are important to your company have to keep, you know, reasonably regular hours in dealing with the apartment community, and at the same time they have to be a parent, and at the same time some of them have to be teachers. I mean, it's really crazy. It's something that nobody really has a solution for. I don't think the local governments have much of a solution for how school's going to play out this year. It's such a mystery, and and fluid situation. There's actually a Facebook page that you can follow if you're. It's kind of a group page where you have to apply to be part of the group, called Multifamily Parents. It's on Facebook, and they're throwing ideas out. And I was talking to some of the people who manage that Facebook page, Lisa Trozine, who people probably know, and Stephanie Anderson, who is works at NAA. They're trying to share ideas on what could work, but at this point, it's just really sort of how are we going to figure this out? And I guess we won't know till we get there. And the schools, I mean, what is it? What did I see? Some schools are already open. Some will be opening soon this week, I guess. And then, you know, here in Washington, D.C., they delayed the opening. It won't be till the middle of September, so the apartment people can be happy about that. But really, it's a struggle for, and like you said, the parents of residents. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they've got to deal with that while they're also being a good resident. And, you know, it can be a stressful situation for sure. So people are probably going to be a little short, I would think, with each other once the school season really catches in.
Yeah, you know, that brings up, obviously, the whole concerns with COVID children catching it and bringing it back home. Getting it into a apartment community, and now you have, you know, potential issues there. And COVID in general, obviously, has created challenges for the apartment industry, for the multifamily industry, obviously from maintenance needs, where you have to get inside units, where people may not want someone in there, as well as how you do keep your offices open and interact with your residents or prospects. Tell me a little bit about what you're finding out about that.
Yeah, it's been tough. I did an article about 2 weeks ago, and basically the headline was back and forth, because what was happening was apartment communities would get all geared up to open up their leasing office or what have you, and then somebody might test positive, and then they have to shift into gears and close everything up again. And then you have to wait, and you have to get tests taken, COVID tests, which, you know, one guy was telling me it took 12 days to get the results. So it's kind of hard to run an office or run a business when some of your employees, you don't know when the results are going to come back, and then you have to quarantine, and then you have to test negative 3 times. It's really been a tough situation. One of the operators on the call basically kind of manned up and said, you know, we've done this, you know, we've been through this now once or twice. So she was kind of kidding, but it's tough to just keep going back and forth and back and forth. It's just been a way of life on top of everything else that's going on. As far as office headquarters, not the actual apartment community, but the headquarters offices themselves, it's like most businesses where the headquarters are not really open. I mean, they might be open and you could go, but you have to make an appointment. And people, I'm told, are kind of checking in at the corporate headquarter office and otherwise working from home. So that's created a lot of challenges for people to get work done and for communications. Another thing that someone was talking about was just how important, well, obviously we all know about masks. I mean, that's a huge deal. You want to have masks on, and you want your residents to see you wearing masks. You want your residents to see you doing what you need to do to help prevent the spread or any other complications. So be visible in what you're doing in terms of cleaning or being cautious or anything else. Residents will see other people doing that, the employees doing that, and it will create a lot of respect.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about the fact that in maintenance issues and on past episodes with dealing with COVID, that some management companies are recording videos that are available on YouTube on how to change an air filter and some of the more basic tasks in order to keep protect their staff members as well as protect the residents from you know the COVID situation by having them participate in that. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah. So I think that when the shelter in place was really going on, a lot of apartment communities would have policies where they would say, okay, the tech can only go in if it's an emergency, all right, because they're trying to avoid just your regular everyday tasks. Well, guess what? People were staying in their apartments for basically 22, 23 hours of the day. It wasn't like they were leaving or going to work or anything like that. And all of a sudden, you started having issues with clogged toilets or garbage disposals or things that seem mundane, but all of a sudden those rose to the level of emergency because, I mean, we all need to use the restroom, right? I mean, if you're overusing it because you're at home all day, you have to redefine what your criteria is for entering the apartments or not.
Yeah, and that is a situation with residents being at home all day, which you know, presents a challenge from the standpoint of parking and interaction with the staff members, and they have to keep their distance and social distance and so forth.
And waste hauling. Think of waste hauling.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you, but the first month we were cooped up in our house, you know, we're doing a bunch of spring cleaning, right? You're going through your garage or your closet or your whatever room, and you're throwing stuff out. All of a sudden, the trash picker-uppers, there's a lot more things on the curb, and not to mention the boxes from Amazon and the packaging and things like that. I mean, wow, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're going to take a break, and we are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of 8 timely and thought-provoking multifamily topics. I'm Paul March. Joining me today by phone is Paul Bergeron, who served as Director of Publications at the National Apartment Association for 17 years. And Paul, this discussion has been fascinating, covers a lot of ground. I know our listeners are getting a lot out of the information that you gather from around the country and are sharing today. We've got a little bit of time left in this last segment where we've got about 4 different things that I want to have you discuss, and it's going to have to be kind of rapid fire because I want to leave some time at the end of the segment to tell a little bit about you and what you're doing now and so forth. The first thing I want to talk about is, or have you talk about, is the out-of-market searches. And you touched on it a little bit in the first segment, But let's get back on that. And then we want to go to maintenance tricks that you've got, construction of properties in today's time, and then also move-in services. So let's cover those.
CoStar, who runs apartments.com, who I'm guessing everyone is familiar with, they do a lot of research on trends in apartment searches. And they had a session a couple weeks ago where they talked about out-of-market searches. So, you know, you operate out of Los Angeles, and you wonder where the prospects are coming from. Are they coming from Los Angeles? Are they coming from Orange County? Or are they coming from way outside, and where? So they tracked a lot of that information. It looked like there's been some upticks in out-of-market searches. And it goes back to what we talked about in the first segment about people being a little nervous about where they live, whether they live in an urban setting, whether they feel a little cramped there, whether they just don't like the scene. There was roughly about 37-38% of searches came from out-of-market. That ticked up to 38 or 39 in April, and I think they had that 39 to 40 in June. So I went out and I talked to a few marketers and operators and asked them what type of percentage they're getting for that and for what reasons. And it was true all of the above. They were finding that more people were searching from out of market because they just kind of wanted to get out of Dodge and they wanted something new. They wanted to try something else. I mean, this situation is been stressful for everyone. We also talked in the earlier segment about the ability to work from anywhere. So if you're paying outrageous rents in San Francisco or New York City, why do you want to do that if you don't have to go to the office anymore? When you're working from home, you can find something a lot more affordable and maybe more friendly. I don't know. So that kind of drove that trend up a little bit. We'll see how long it lasts. But it's something to keep in mind, and it's also something to keep in mind with your marketing messaging because, you know, once upon a time, it seemed like a lot of people were pumping up amenities. Well, amenities have been kind of hit or miss at some of these apartment communities, either in terms of being available to renters or renters willing to use them. So one company I talked about said their marketing campaign is all about how easy it is to move. This is so easy to move to our community. That's what they were touting, because nobody likes to move. It's a pain in the butt. But if you're talking about the simplicity of moving into one of their communities, that could be something that could grab someone's attention more so than say, the swimming pool that no one's swimming in. And when you talk about move-in services itself, I thought this was a great idea that I saw. This was in Louisville. An apartment community was offering free move-in services from one of the major moving companies in town. So if you decide to move into this new property, they gave you, I think it was 2 or 3 hours of moving services, which is really pretty much what you need, especially if you're local, to get all your boxes there. So it benefits the renter because they don't have to pay a moving company. It benefits the renter because they don't have to break their back to move. And it benefits the apartment community because they don't have the risk of amateurs carrying stuff down the hallways or getting into trouble or stumbling or whatever. So I thought that was kind of a great idea that I'm told is being done in other markets too, but it's just something to keep in mind if you're really trying to sell that move-in for a new prospect. There's another company that I came across called Roost, like a rooster, and they were offering a bunch of discounts and services to new renters. One of the things that I thought was really interesting was mattresses, right? So a lot of times when you're moving in for the first time, you need a mattress or you want to get rid of your old mattress. Well, they have partnerships with companies where you can get a discount on buying a mattress. And if you've not paid attention to the mattress industry recently, which is crazy, you can have these mattresses shipped to your house, which to me is great because they come in a box that's a reasonable size. I remember talking to people about package delivery a long time ago, and they would talk about, well, you should see what we get shipped to our apartments, you know, and they would talk about these huge boxes and huge things. Well, I guess a mattress is a lot more convenient to ship these days. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is. And you're right. And I personally bought a mattress that was shipped directly to the house. So it was amazing that you can do that these days. You also mm-hmm. mentioned maintenance tricks and also some construction things that you've come across, constructions of properties now.
Yeah, so it's interesting as a content creator, which is kind of what I'm doing these days on, you know, digital platforms, you post articles and you kind of wonder, is anyone going to read this? Are people going to be interested in this? You know, and you don't know till you try. So I came across this product that got rid of mold in a shower. Okay, so we've all been there. Nobody likes to re-caulk. Nobody likes to scrub. Nobody likes to use bleach. Certainly the maintenance team probably doesn't. It was this Lysol product. It was called like clinging toilet cleaner or something. And I saw a video of a woman demonstrating it in a shower, and it was the easiest thing in the world. It cost $3, and you spray it against the wall, and you put a couple of paper towels in there. You let it sit for 3 or 4 hours, or even overnight if it's a disaster, and presto, you almost have a new shower. So I wrote a little story about it on my LinkedIn. I talked about my own experience with it, and I shared the video. And my God, I had about 3,000 hits on that story. It was one of the most popular things that I ever posted. So I thought that was kind of funny, and I wanted to share that with people.
Yeah, and what about construction? What are you hearing these days?
Construction. So I was talking to a developer named Optima. They're based in Chicago, but they also have properties in Arizona. And they were, I don't know what it is, maybe 70-80% done with their new construction, and that's when the COVID hit. So they decided to sort of hit the rewind switch, and they changed around some of their architecture and planning and the way they were going to put the apartment community together with COVID in mind and with social distancing in mind. I mean, the fact that they were able to pivot like that was pretty impressive. They talked about how, I mean, the worst part, it seems like, at least with office buildings and with high-rise, is the whole elevator thing, because you hate to wait for an elevator anyway. Well, if they're going to have limited time in the elevator, limited number of people standing in the elevator because of COVID, well, geez, wouldn't it be great to have extra large elevators or have, you know, more spacing available for that? So they made that adjustment, and they also invested in a new airflow system. So you've been hearing a lot about how the heat, everyone first thought the heat was going to kill the virus. Well, now the heat is sort of helping to spread the virus, they say, because you have your air conditioner on and everybody's inside. So you've got circulation going on with potentially bad air. And, I mean, I don't know what temperature is in Houston this month, but it's probably not springtime. So there's a system called AirFix. All right. So it's air, A-I-R, and then fix is P-H-X. And if you can't remember it, it's like Phoenix. So it's air fix. And it's a disinfectant air conditioning airflow system that's used in hospitals for all the obvious reasons. You don't want infection in hospitals. So this apartment community called Fulton East, which is in Chicago, it's not open yet. They have used this airflow system, which I also saw some articles about in the Wall Street Journal. So maybe this is the next great thing in apartment development. I don't know how much it costs. I can't imagine it being cheap. But if you have some, think about it. If you have a system like that in your apartment community, how great would that be to tell a prospect? You know,
sure.
wouldn't that give them peace of mind? They also used an elevator system at this property called MAD, M-A-D, MAD touch-free elevators. I think we're all going in that direction as well. You know, you can wave a card, you can wave a key fob or whatever, you know, artificial intelligence, whatever it happens to be for these elevators to get you where you need to be without you having to touch anything, much less touch something that someone else touched if you're a germaphobe, which we can all imagine right now. So I thought those were interesting construction developments that you might see a little bit more of.
No, they are. And unfortunately, we're going to be coming up against the end of this segment. I do want to invite you back to come to talk, because you got fascinating contacts with people that you're talking to in the industry, and I know our listeners benefit from what you're finding. I do want to give you an opportunity today to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you're doing now, and how they can reach you if they would like to.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, I was at the National Apartment Association for a long time. I kind of built Units Magazine into what it is now, or at least when I left in December. And it was a really fun publication to put together. I really enjoyed talking to people. The industry is great to work with. I've kind of gone out into the content marketing world as a freelancer right now. I'm seeking full-time employment, but I am working part-time as a content producer. If you go to my LinkedIn page, you will see most of my posts there. If you follow a website called Multifamily Insiders, which is really popular, there's a lot of my articles that I've been talking about that are posted there. Multifamily Executive Magazine is a popular magazine in the industry. I've had several byline stories in there about trends related to all kinds of things. Apartments.com, believe it or not, is starting to rev up some content on their website, so I've been a big contributor there. It's been a lot of fun. I'm actually working for some apartment clients as well. So if you're a supplier, a software company, any kind of company in the multifamily industry that is looking for some valuable content marketing to use on their website, I've had quite a few clients with that. I'm happy to help you out with those things. Kind of the beauty is to write about the industry and write about what's going on without making it seem like a sales pitch. That's kind of something I perfected at Units. So some of the content marketers and blogs, I've been blogging for a lot of apartment companies, helping to get them some attention and engagement with their audiences. So yeah, if you check me out on LinkedIn, Paul Bergeron, it's under the name Thought Leadership Today. I kind of created that as the name of my platform, Thought Leadership Today on LinkedIn. So I'd love to hear from people if they have any questions about anything I've talked about or if they'd like me to work with them on any projects.
That'd be great. And I do want to remind everyone that some of the things that you've talked about, the links to different videos and so forth, you'll be sending to me, which I will post on our website's episode page for this episode. Please feel free to go there and check some of these great ideas out that Paul's discussed. Paul, thank you so much for being on today. Like I said, I look forward to having you back on again soon. We're going to bring this episode to a close, but we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.